If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Anybody who knows me knows that I'm an animal lover. So this lion that was killed over in Zimbabwe is bothersome. It was inhumanely done. Even if, you know, a person says, well, it was sport, and I disagree with that. God said you can go out and kill them for meat, but he didn't say you can go out and kill them just so you can put their heads on the wall. But at any rate, it seems that everybody's all concerned about this killing of Cecil the lion. And yet, Planned Parenthood every day is chopping up little babies, and people don't think very much about that. Now, which has greater importance, a lion or baby, human babies that are created by God in His image? It certainly should be the babies. But we have this insane idea that one animal is more important than millions of babies that are being aborted and chopped up. I saw the most gruesome video of this and what they're doing this past week. It is absolutely incredible. Anyone with a heart at all would be totally repulsed. And I'm not minimizing, you know, Cecil the lion, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that the higher priority certainly should be on the human child. What we find today is that there comes a point in the degeneration of people that God says, okay, I'm going to allow certain things to take place that will destroy their ability to think and reason. And this is what is happening today. We see it everywhere. We see it on the part of judges, we see it on the part of Supreme Courts, we see it on the part of so many people. And the Bible gives us several explanations as to what God is doing in this regard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's take a look at verse 14. When the children of Israel had rejected the word of God, they didn't want to hear it. They wanted to do their own thing and felt they had a right to do it. In verse 14, the Holy Spirit says this about them. But their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But it says their minds were blinded. Over in chapter 4, same book. In verse 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. There is blindness today. People can't see what is logical. They can't see what is reasonable. They get excited about minor things and major things. It seems that doesn't matter. Used to be a time when a person came up with a new invention or a new idea that the world would assess that and say, okay, how is that going to benefit us? How are we improving? I'll just take one thing, iPhones. You see them constantly. People walking down the street, walking into telephone poles, talking on the iPhone. People driving their cars or stopped at a green light, talking on their iPhone. You see people who cannot live without earphones on and their iPhone going, talking to someone. You go into a line at McDonald's, guy in front of you, is talking. Nobody's talking to him. But there he is talking, and you get another view, and you find out, hey, he's got one of those things on his ear, and he's talking on the phone. What benefit has there been as a result of all these gadgets? How is your life improved? Do you have more recreational time? Does it bring you closer to people so that they love you more and you love them more? What has it done? What has it accomplished? I mean, just look at all these devices. What has happened to us that we won't even look at things logically and reasonably and say, what good does it do? It's making somebody a bunch of money. That's about the only good that it's done. If you're the person who's making the money, it's done good for you. Yeah. If you're the one who's paying, not so much. People's thinking has changed. Can God change it back? In 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 7. Now, we just read about a blind mind, mind that is no longer capable of thinking logically and reasonably. That deals with lost people for the most part. But then we read verse 7, it says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a, what?
Sound
mind. God has given to his people a sound mind. Now, if you're familiar with history, you know something that takes place when a society loses its mind and God places blindness upon them. Over in Nazi Germany, they blamed the Jews for being insane. They said it runs in the genetics, that they carry insanity with them. And so therefore, the Jews are out there, they're all greedy, they're all stealing, they're all this and they're all that. That's the Nazi propaganda. That's what they said. And so as a consequence, to so many millions of Germans sitting back and saying, oh, well, that sounds reasonable to me, because their minds were blinded, millions of Jews were killed. We look at what happened in the Stalin era when Stalin said, you believe in God that you can't see? That doesn't make any sense. You believe in a God that is not visible? Why, you're insane. And millions of Christians were taken off to Siberia where they died. Many others were taken to psychiatric institutes where people performed medical experiments on them because they believed in a God that others could not see. And now here in the United States, we have government people coming out with statements such as, if you cannot accept homosexuality, there is something wrong with you mentally. They're paving a way. They are establishing a foundation that they will act upon. When a person says, I believe the Bible, I believe God gave the Bible, I believe that the Bible is God's word, when you say something like that, that strikes a nerve in people who are controlled by Satan. They cannot think. They cannot reason. And you know, one of the things that astounds me is we have a man in the White House who taught at one of the prestigious universities in this country. And yet he knows next to nothing about American history. He comes out with statements like, America is not a Christian nation. Really? Did he never read George Washington's memoirs? Did he never read what our forefathers have said? Did he never study the development of our Constitution and how it was on the knees of these people as God spoke to them and they were committed to put into writing things that God had set in his word? Did he never know this? Blinded. Blinded. And yet, he comes out with statements totally disregarding all of history. As a matter of fact, they're trying to change history. Make it totally different than what it is. The whole Civil War. Now, I'll admit, I'm a Southerner. I was raised in South Philadelphia. And I've always appreciated the fact that when we started, that there were colonies that were independently governed. And the only reason they got together, whether it was the 13 colonies to begin with or later as the country grew, adding other states to it, was for mutual benefit. And they developed a constitution that said that if that mutual development no longer exists, then any of the colonies, any of the states, have a right to secede. That's what was agreed to. And today it's just so amazing that has been forgotten. And today we have such antagonism toward the South. I'm totally flabbergasted that so many blacks in America have endorsed Lincoln as their hero. If they have studied Lincoln, they would know that Lincoln, when he was a senator in Illinois, voted for slavery. If they studied the life of Lincoln, they would understand that the Emancipation Proclamation sounded very good on paper, but the law that Lincoln actually endorsed said that slaves were still allowed in Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, and a couple other states. That many of the Union generals were slave owners. And this was endorsed by Lincoln. It's simply a matter of digging into the facts, reading the old history books that still carry the truth. But today we live in a world where people can make up whatever history they want. And that's a frightening thing because the minds of people, it's not logical nor reasonable. They've been blinded. And this is what the Bible says. This is why you and I are having to deal with some things up ahead and preparing for them, knowing that it's just going to get worse. And yet for us, it's just going to get better. Over in John chapter 10, John chapter 10. Whenever you have power, whenever you have an ability that is greater than the people around you, there are people who will criticize and say, you're the crazy one. In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about giving his life for his sheep. And in verse 19, it resulted in this. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, and it's talking about Jesus now, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Many of them said that Jesus was insane. This was the accusation back then because Jesus did not go along with the majority of religionists. People don't seem to understand that when Jesus was preaching the truth, whether it be in Jerusalem or any other part of Israel, it went completely against what so many of the people there believed. And so they said, you're insane. You're insane. Others came along and said, how can an insane man heal these people? How can an insane man change their lives? And of course, they were the ones that had the evidence on their side. which was a good thing. Because the many wanted to commit Jesus, including members of his own family. What a tragedy. But you see, it highlights this. When you don't go along with the world's logic and reasoning, one of the first defenses is of the world is, oh, that's crazy. You people are nuts. You people are insane. And keep in mind, this is what took place in Nazi Germany. This is what took place in the Soviet Union. This is how it's done. They accuse the person who is logical and has the evidence of being insane. Medical records show that when Christians pray for someone, that the patient, and this is substantiated in several different studies by secular organizations, by the way, that when Christians pray for patients, the patients have a much higher rate of recovery than people who weren't prayed for. Now, there's the evidence. There's the proof. But what do they want to do? Hey, don't go into that hospital to pray. Don't go and doing this. Don't. That prayer means nothing. Are you crazy? You're praying to a God you can't even see. And here they fall back on this principle that you attack the person who has the evidence. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 26. Paul had already seen God work through him, had done many miracles already, and now he's being hauled before this king in court. Acts chapter 26. And he gives his testimony. Here's the evidence. He used to persecute Christians, and now he's serving God, the same God of the people he was persecuting. And in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works right for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for him, for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. What's he saying in short? He's saying, Paul, you're insane. Paul, you're insane. This is the verdict of the world that they throw at believers who have all the evidence. I mean, the very fact that Paul could have been so much better off, could have had a family, could have been still on the Sanhedrin, could have been getting all sorts of money, and he threw all that away. Now, that in itself, the world says, you're nuts. But then he became a Christian, and he's serving God, and he's living a very austere life, not a great deal of money, sometimes in great need. And here he is serving God and preaching only what the scriptures say. And he points this out to Festus. Festus throws right back, Paul, you're mad. You're mad. You're crazy. One of the things that is ammunition for the world to use that type of accusation against Christians is when Christians misuse spiritual gifts. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 23, it says, if therefore the whole church has come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? I was watching a video clip today of a pastor of a church that people were coming down to the altar, and he just starts rattling off in tongues, what he calls tongues. They weren't really. And I thought to myself, you know, they have these little short things. They can't go on for very long because it really isn't the language. It's just something to get the stress out, I guess. I don't know. They learn certain phrases. You know, just like lost people learn to cuss, these people learn how to say certain things, and that supposedly is speaking in tongues. Well, this guy was doing that, and I thought to myself, what did that accomplish? First of all, nobody knew what you're talking about. Secondly, it didn't help anybody. Thirdly, it made the lost people in there look at you and say, are you nuts? Now, what did that accomplish? We need to start looking at things and what they actually accomplish in our lives. You know, what good is a microwave oven unless it saves us time? What good is a television unless it is for your edification in some way? And believe me, it's hard to find anything on television today worth that is edifying. What good are things unless they actually save you time? Some months ago, I had somebody I corresponded with, and they just bought a brand new car. They got rid of the old one that they had. They said it was, you know, sooner or later, he said it's going to fall apart because it has so many miles on it. Well, it had been totally dependable. It's a pickup truck. Totally dependable up until that time. But he said, I know once it hits a certain mileage, it's going to start falling apart. So he went out and he bought a new car. Thing was supposed to get 40 miles to the gallon. He lives at the dealership now. He's constantly having it repaired. He's spending all his time having all these repairs done on the thing. And he says, what a mistake. I sold my truck that wasn't giving me any problems. I buy this new one to save me money, and I have to lose time from work. I'm having to go back and forth on the dealership to get it fixed and get it tweaked, to get all these things worked out. What did it accomplish? Well, at least he's asking. At least he's asking. I'd encourage you to ask yourself about certain things in your life. What is it accomplishing? Things that the world says is an absolute necessity. You have to have this. What is it accomplishing? You know, the number one thing, number one reason why people switched from a landline to a cell phone. Do you remember? You remember your bill when you were getting a landline? And then you could get a cell phone and only pay $15, $19 a month? That's the number one reason why people left the landline. It's because of the price. And they could get a cell phone cheap. And they could take it everywhere. And now it is not unusual at all for people to be paying $150, $160 a month for a cell phone. when they could have a landline for one-third of the cost. What is it accomplishing? What is it accomplishing? Look at the things that the world says you need this, and then once they have their hook in you, they keep pulling more and more out of you. Think about it. This is what the world does. Now, they think we're crazy. They think we're the insane ones. But the only way that we are insane, is, in essence, is because we're following what the world says. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the misuse of gifts will cause the world to say that we're crazy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's take a look at verse 5. Talking about the last days and what we could expect and the fact that the world's going to move away from wholesome words from the Word of God. In verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I've used this illustration before, and it's a very, very sad one to me, because there was a couple came to this church, husband and wife, had, I think, two children, and they got saved. Not long thereafter, the husband got a job out of state. And the job offered him more than what he was making at any time in this state. And so he heads on up there. He takes the job. And he gets a house. Gets all sorts of new stuff. The wife comes with the kids. They're so busy in their work, which, by the way, one of the reasons why they got a little bit more money in their paycheck is because they had to work extra hours to get it. But after getting all this, within 6 months, they divorced. Here are people that were making it financially down here. Here were people who were young in the faith that the world kept telling to them, hey, take the higher salary. Get more money. I hear from people all the time up north who get twice the amount the people down here get, and for a salary. And they're saying, we can barely make it. I know one particular case, and I just talked to him last month. And he says, man, I sure am miserable. I wish that I hadn't left, because now I have all sorts of expenses that I didn't have down there. I'm not any better off. It all goes back to praying to this God that we cannot see and getting an answer. Do we do that? Or do we listen to this insane world that says more money, again, means more godliness? That God's blessing you because of this. God wasn't blessing them with jobs. The devil was tempting them with money. God wasn't blessing them with opportunities up there because they're no better off. You see, a lot of people don't look at results. And that's awfully important. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, where it talks about supposing that gain is godliness. Man, what a bait gain is to many Christians who think that the more money they have, the better off they're going to be. And that isn't necessarily true. That isn't necessarily true. We don't want the insanity of this world to infect us. In Proverbs 29, in verse 11, it says this, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. A fool uttereth all his mind. The world has infected the Christian so much, the Christians don't even think about things very often. They don't have time to meditate. I mean, how can we meditate when we're on the phone driving to and from work? How can we meditate? How can we meditate when every time the phone rings, that phone is a God that we must answer right then? And so often, all it is a telemarketer call. How is that benefiting us? You see, what it's doing is making us respond. We have to have everything, microwave, have to have everything right now. And we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to meditate. Because the world says, oh, you need this, you need that, you need that. And they're filling up all the time that we once had for meditation and prayer and Bible study. They're filling it up with stuff that doesn't count for anything. It says, the fool uttereth all his mind. In other words, you ask somebody something, and right away they come to a quick conclusion. You have to be careful. Most of you, at least deep down, you know you cannot depend upon the media today to tell you the truth. You can't. They're going to twist things. They're going to take things in the way and present it in the way that they want to, with the slant that they want you to understand. We understand that. But at the same time, so many Christians say, oh, but that must be the case. And we run with it. We believe everything. This deal with Iran. The media is simply a tool, a propaganda tool. This deal with Iran, they say, it doesn't affect Israel at all. It won't hurt Israel. It'll protect Israel. Well, and yesterday they came out, the White House came out with this, that it has nothing to do with Israel or anybody else. It only has to do with nuclear weapons. Well, it seems that John Kerry was questioned at the committee meeting throughout this past week, and he admitted that there was a deal made where the United States would remove sanctions against certain people in Iran who had provided devices to blow up our soldiers, who had provided military help against our own people, and we were just going to remove all the sanctions against them. That doesn't sound like nuclear stuff to me. But you see, people believe everything that they're told, and right away, you know, people are defending this whole thing, and it's ridiculous. We jump to conclusions. We say things right away that get us into trouble. How many times have you said something on the spur of the moment that you wish that you could have taken back? And if you had given thought to it, you never would have said it to begin with. I think that applies to everybody. But the problem is, while years ago this would be something you could say, yeah, I remember the last time I did that, and I'm ashamed. Today it happens so frequently you can't even remember. Because people are being trained by the world to just say something instantaneously, whatever thought comes on their minds, and that's what that proverb was talking about. That we don't have time to run it through and think about it. That there were some people who had cursed the God of Israel. And this deals with the legal system. And here's this young man who decided he was going to blaspheme God in his discussion with somebody else. And so over in Leviticus 24 and verse 12, the Bible says they put him in ward. In other words, they put him into a prison that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. That the mind of the Lord might be showed them. Boy, that would change our justice system. If juries were told, gentlemen, ladies, I want you to retreat to that back room, take as much time as you need, but I want you to pray about your verdict. Boy, that would change things around. Because then a lawyer wouldn't have an advantage, because you're seeking God who's greater than a lawyer. That would really change things. But you see, the way God established things, and the way when people were in a right relationship with God, what they did was, hold off. I'm not going to make a decision right now. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to wait for God to show me what needs to be done. Let God show me. And that's what Israel did initially when they were following his word. Misinterpreting information can make a person's mind draw the wrong conclusions. Nebuchadnezzar, for an example. Nebuchadnezzar got on the wall, looked at the Hanging Gardens, which is one of the wonders of the world. And he says, look at all Babylon that I have made. I have architecturally built this thing up. I've done this, I've done that. And we know what God did. God said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, you think it was your mind? Well, let me take your mind away for a few years. And when you come back, the Hanging Gardens will still be there. Babylon will still be there. And all those things that you say depend on you, they're still going to be there. But I'm going to send you out into the field like an ox. Belshazzar, his grandson, started doing the very same thing. And this is what Daniel told him. When his heart was lifted up, he's talking about his grandfather, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed of his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar misinterpreted the information. Nebuchadnezzar thought, I've done this. That was insane. That was insane. Had it not been for God getting him to the throne, had it not been for God giving him good health, had it not been for God giving him people who would follow his instructions, had it not been for God giving the ideas, God should have gotten all the glory. But instead, Nebuchadnezzar misinterpreted all the information he took in and decided that he was responsible for all this. And this is our world today. Totally insane. And yet they're accusing Christians of being insane. Though this insanity may be epidemic, we still have power and we still have healing for both the mind and soul. Over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What if Adam and Eve had sought the Lord before making a decision? Things from then on would have been so much different, wouldn't they? In your life, there comes a point where we all make decisions, but some decisions, even though we don't realize how important they are at the time, and I'm sure Adam and Eve didn't realize how important that decision was, but for us, there come decision points where our entire lives are changed. If we yield to the Lord, our lives are changed for the better. If, instead of listening to God, we listen to ourselves, or we listen to this insane world out there, then our lives will be changed for the worse. Every day we face decisions. Which decisions are going to radically affect us? At the time, we probably don't know. And that's why it's a good thing whenever we have to make a decision to come before God and ask for his wisdom and his guidance as to what we're supposed to do. We're expected to be reasonable people. We're expected to be logical, rational people by God. And in Romans 12:1, it points out, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Presenting ourselves to God is the most logical, reasonable, rational thing to an intelligent person. When we present ourselves to God, it's the very least we can do. Look at all that Jesus did for us. The least we can do is say, Lord, here, I'm yours. Use me. Work through me. Accomplish things through me. And when we do that, God blesses. Here's what we must do. First, recognize that this world and its thinking is doomed. They're digging their own grave. Secondly, accept the fact that the world will do everything that it can to infect you and me with its logic and reasoning. Three, recognize that God can help us to resist the world and its thinking. Four, God alone can give us the power over all the power of the enemy. Five, we have a responsibility to seek God's power and to escape the ways of the world. And seven, we cannot be passive simply with knowledge. We have to act upon it. That's rational. That's reasonable. Millions of people today are walking around disturbed over things that are happening in this country. Some of them can't even sleep at night because their thoughts are so depressing about what is taking place. The Bible tells us that knowledge by itself accomplishes very little. What God wants us to do is to act upon the knowledge that we have for His glory, for His honor, in everything that we do. I want to encourage you today, if you've never really received the Lord as Savior, it may not be the most popular thing in your family, it may not be the most popular thing among the people that you know, but it's going to make God rejoice, and it's going to give you everlasting life when you come to Jesus by faith. That's important. That is vital. Let me encourage you today, those of you that are saved, to realize the world's going to say you're insane. People are going to tell you you're crazy. If you quit using your cell phone, if you quit using different appliances or things that the world says, oh, you have to have this. If you quit doing what the world does, they're going to say you're crazy. But you know, whose opinion do you respect more, theirs or God's? And that's where you have to make a decision. Which do you want to do? Please God or man? And that is a decision. It isn't just a fact that you have to make a decision. You have to do it. Not just have knowledge of it, but you have to do it. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow your heads and hearts. We're going to have an invitation in a moment. This crazy world wants you. They want to infect your thinking. They don't want you to think at all. They just want you to follow their ways. God wants you, and He gave you the ability to reason and think in a godly manner. And that's why Paul encouraged the churches, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, to obtain that mind of Christ, we have to seek Him. It isn't just something that's automatically there all the time. In many areas, we have to say, Lord, I don't have the answer. I want you to give it to me, and I want it to come from you. That's what God wants us to do, to seek Him. So let me encourage you, not just to have an awareness of what's going on, but to make a stand in your own heart, your own mind, that you're on this earth to please God, not people. You're on this earth to follow Him, not the world. Father, we thank You today for Your great love that allowed us to meet together, that allowed us to sing praises to Your name, that allowed us to study Your word and to listen to Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You might help us today to take a stand against this world and for You. Help us, Lord, to reject the insanity of this world and to receive the mind of Christ in all the things that we do. Father, I pray that You'd bless each one today who knows they have a decision to make in their lives that'll bring them closer to You. And on the flip side of that is, if they make the wrong decision, it will pull them further away. They don't want to make that wrong decision. And so, Father, I pray that You'd bless, encourage them. And Lord, we just pray that today Your Holy Spirit would have His way in our lives. These things we pray for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come. If you have decisions to make that will draw you close to the Lord, if the Lord's been speaking to your heart, today you need to make that decision.